Easter. Tonight you're going to need your Bible. I think the readings will probably come up on the PowerPoint as well too. But if you've got your Bible there, we're going to be doing a little bit of checking to see what scriptures line up with the things that we're talking about tonight. But I just pray that God will help us to see and understand the message of the resurrection of Jesus a bit more clearly as we do so. A news conference has recently been called in Jerusalem, and there's a CNN breaking news report. Archaeologists have recently discovered a tomb just outside the walls of the ancient city of Jerusalem, which contains the remains thought to be those of Jesus of Nazareth. Rumours have been circulating for the past week that this very important discovery was about to be announced. Christians all around the world are astonished and bewildered. We will have to wait to see just what effect this discovery will have on the 2,000-year-old religion. Could it be that a 2,000-year-old lie has finally been exposed? Are you in shock? Are you in disbelief? Well, you can relax, because that's not a real report. But there are many skeptics and atheists today who would love to hear a report like that. Look, I'll tell you, from time to time, there will be a report roughly sort of parallel to that one that I've just mentioned there. And it'll get a lot of airplay in the media. There'll be a lot of excitement for about 2 weeks, and then you'll hear nothing more of it. And this happens about every sort of 10 years or so. There'll be another sort of discovery of some place over there, around Jerusalem there. And the fact of the matter is that in nearly 2,000 years of history, no one has ever been able to identify the bones of Jesus. They've been trying, the skeptics and the knockers and the critics, but they've never been able to do it. You know, from the day when Jesus' tomb was found empty on that first Easter Sunday morning, Christians have vigorously maintained that Jesus rose from the dead bodily, and that he walked the earth, mingled with people over a period of something like 40 days. And then he ascended visibly in the presence of his disciples. And today is alive. He reigns from heaven today. And by his Spirit, he's alive and at work in the lives of Christians. The Christian gospel, the fundamental belief system of Christians, depends absolutely on the fact that Jesus rose bodily from the dead, that he's alive today. But why is it? Why is it that we make such a big deal about the resurrection? What difference does the resurrection make? What I want to do tonight is to share with you very quickly 7 reasons why the resurrection is so important to the Christian faith. Firstly, it assures us that we can trust the words of Jesus. There were many occasions when Jesus made specific references to the fact that he was going to die and rise again on the third day. Matthew chapter 16, we read one of these predictions that he made some time before he went to Jerusalem for that last time and then died on the cross. Look at verses 21 to 23. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Even those closest to him didn't want to believe Jesus when he said that he was going to die and rise again. On an earlier occasion, the Pharisees were trying to get Jesus to do a miracle. If you look in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 and 40. Maybe we'll pick it up at verse 38. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. And he answered, A wicked and adulterous generation ask for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You want proof of who I am? Jesus said to those skeptical Pharisees there. I'll give you proof. I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again on the third day. And that's exactly what he did. Friends, Jesus, he doesn't just tell the truth. Jesus is the truth. Every single word that Jesus spoke was the truth. You want ultimate proof that Jesus is who he says he is? Look at the resurrection. Look at the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If one word that Jesus spoke was false, if anything Jesus said was a half-truth, is there anything that Jesus said which was even remotely less than the absolute truth? Well, Jesus fails the test of truth. On the other hand, if Jesus is the truth, as he claims to be, and we have no grounds whatever for doubting that he is the truth, the absolute truth, well, then we must believe him and we must obey him. They're the only alternatives that we have. And the resurrection just bolsters our confidence in the fact that Jesus is who he claimed to be, because he said he was going to die and rise again, something which nobody ever in history had ever done before and has ever done since. And we can therefore look to the death and resurrection of Jesus and draw huge confidence in the fact that Jesus is the truth. In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, you have to look a little bit harder in the Old Testament, but even in the Old Testament, there are references to the fact that the Messiah was going to die and going to rise again. I wonder tonight if you're having any doubts about Jesus, about the authenticity of Jesus himself. If you are, well then, one of the most reassuring pieces of evidence that you can possibly find is the resurrection of Jesus. The sign of Jonah that Jesus gave to those skeptical Pharisees is still valid for us today. The sign of Jonah, that Jesus would die on the third day, rise from the dead. That's the first thing. It assures us that Jesus really is the truth. The words of Jesus can be trusted. Number two, the resurrection assures us that the death of Jesus really does free us from the penalty and the power of sin. The Bible makes it clear that the death and resurrection of Jesus are a package that go together. If Jesus died on the cross but didn't rise from the dead, there is no gospel. It doesn't work that way. You see, if Jesus died but didn't rise from the dead, he did nothing to deliver us, to free us from our sin. The resurrection of Jesus must go hand in glove with the death of Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 to 20. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins, it says. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, which is a euphemistic way of saying those who have died. And basically what Paul is saying there is that there can be no forgiveness of sins without the cross. But the fact that Jesus was raised on the third day means that the power of sin over us has been broken. In Romans chapter 4, Paul puts it this way, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. What does that mean? He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Basically, to be justified means to be declared not guilty. It's a legal term. You are acquitted. You are set free. That's what it means. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, but he was raised to life in order to set us free, to acquit us from our sins. And so the resurrection is essential to the gospel message. And it's through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead that the burden of sin which was upon us has been removed and we are made acceptable to God. We are justified by God. The third thing that the resurrection does is it inspires a confidence that changes the lives of true followers of Jesus. It inspires a confidence that changes the lives of true followers of Jesus. You know, there are some people for whom the resurrection is a topic to be discussed and debated and argued about and questioned and doubted and all those sorts of things. That's all that it is. And you can read books and books and books, and there have been doctoral theses written on it. And I mean, I'm not saying that these books are bad. They are fine. But if that's as far as it goes, there is something deficient in the truth about the resurrection of Jesus. There are some people there who say that Jesus didn't rise physically. He didn't have a bodily resurrection. It was a kind of a spiritual resurrection. And as long as you at least think that Jesus is alive, that's all that really matters. The fact that his bones might be buried over there in Israel doesn't alter the fact that you know, you can get warm fuzzies thinking about Jesus and the resurrection. But friends, that's not what the Bible says. And that's not what the original witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus believed. They had no question in their minds whatever that Jesus, the real Jesus, was standing there among them. They were able to talk to him. They were able to eat with him. They were able to touch him. When you read the Bible there, you see that those original disciples of Jesus who witnessed the resurrection, and there were many of them, had their lives totally turned upside down by the fact that they were seeing and interacting with the real Jesus. They couldn't contain their excitement and their joy. You tried telling them that Jesus was just some kind of sort of a psychological experience. Well, that this resurrection thing was some kind of an apparition or a mirage. They had absolutely no doubt in their minds that the man who was standing before them, who had scars in his hands and in his side and his feet, was no less than the real, physically resurrected Jesus, the living, breathing, resurrected Jesus. And you know, when people meet the real Jesus today, I believe that the doctrine of the resurrection ought to have that sort of effect upon us. I believe that it really ought to change us. It ought to do something for us. This is what Romans chapter 8 actually says about the Christian experience. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the spirit who takes up residence and lives in the lives of Christians. And he wants to be the, if you like, the same dynamic, the same empowering in our lives as he was in the life of the Lord Jesus himself. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. To meet the real Jesus is to receive a whole new life and a new power to live that life through the Holy Spirit. You cannot be the same once you've met Jesus. You know, I've seen so many lives that have been transformed by that power. There's a guy that ended up coming to the church that I was pastoring out there in Billawila. It would have to be like 15 or so years ago now. He was an alcoholic at 30. He was a hopeless drunk. He was the joke of the town. And he was constantly in trouble with the law. And I think I might have told his story once before, because I got woken up by the police about 1 o'clock one morning. And they brought this guy to me because he was going to go home and commit suicide because he'd been picked up for drink driving yet again, and he knew he was going to lose his license for a long time. That guy met the living Jesus. And you can go to Billawila today, and that guy is a normal guy. He's a happily married guy. He's got a little son. He's a radiant Christian. His life has been radically transformed because he met the living Jesus, and because the power of the living Jesus by the Holy Spirit is at work in his life. He's a living, breathing testimony to the power of the resurrected Jesus in that small town. Praise God. There's a girl who came from down south to work here in Brisbane. She was living among people whose lives and lifestyles were very, very far from Christian. She was looking for something better. She met Dave Heron at work. This was before Dave went to Bible college. She was intrigued. She asked questions. He shared his faith. He brought her along here to church. And Jody was wonderfully converted. And she's now gone back to Melbourne. And she's living a joyful Christian life down there today, content. A life of meaning and of purpose, because, you see, she met the living Jesus. She saw the alternative, but she was captured by Jesus. You know, I look around the auditorium here and I look at some of you folk here and I see what God has been doing in your lives. Jesus is at work by his Spirit in people's lives today. Just like those original disciples of Jesus were radically transformed by the power that was released by the Spirit of God in the resurrection of Jesus, so that same Holy Spirit power is at work transforming lives today. And we better believe it, folks. We better believe that. Number four, the resurrection message galvanizes Christians in local churches. It's fascinating to read some of the early sermons that were preached by Peter and Paul in those days after the day of Pentecost. The thing that really strikes me, and you can read the book of Acts, because many of these sermons are recorded for us there. Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Chapter 10, chapter 13, there's lots of them. Chapter 8, there's lots of these messages that are recorded for us there. One of the things that really strikes you is how much they talk, yes, about the death of Jesus, but also about the resurrection of Jesus. Sometimes they go on and on about the resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up there in front of all those people from Jerusalem there, many of them, who had perhaps even played some part in condemning Jesus to death. And he said, "You put him to death, but God raised him. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of the fact. And as they preached to people about the death and the resurrection of Jesus, hundreds and hundreds of them became Christians. I guess they could see the power of God at work in the lives of these apostles and the early followers of Jesus there. And the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of their lives. And they were discipled in the context of little churches which started springing up in homes all around Jerusalem. And then they got baptized. Why did they get baptized? Well, they got baptized because Peter commanded them. Jesus had commanded us commanded his disciples to baptize the disciples in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said, "You've got to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." And what does baptism do? It symbolizes the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And these people were identifying with the death and resurrection of Jesus physically by going down under the water, being immersed, and rising again, symbolic of the new life that they had in Christ. And what did they do next? They started worshipping on Sundays. Why did they worship on Sundays? Because it was the Lord's Day. It was the day that Jesus was raised from the dead. These people were Jews, these early disciples, these original followers of Christ. Naturally, they would, you'd expect, worship on the Sabbath day. But as time went by, they said, "We want to celebrate the resurrection. It's that important to us. Jesus is alive. The one that we follow is alive." And so they started meeting together on the first day of the week, on Sunday, as a sign of their absolute confidence in the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. We come to worship here on Sundays. We are Christians. At least part of our reason for coming together Sunday by Sunday is to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's not some dead ritual, friends. This is something that ought to grab a hold of us and be a dynamic for our lives. When we come together, we should smile, we should clap, we should rejoice together, because we're celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive today and he's among us by the Holy Spirit. Number five, the resurrection assures us of life after death. Christianity very boldly declares that there is such a thing as eternal life, and even if we die, that we will still be raised to resurrection life, that we will still be able to share and enter into this eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son on the cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not die an eternal death, but should have what? Eternal life. Eternal life. That's what God wants to give to those who believe in Jesus. In John chapter 5, Jesus put it this way. John chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." The time is coming when those who are already dead, who know Jesus Christ personally, will hear the cry, the return of the Lord Jesus. They'll hear the trumpet sound and they'll be raised victoriously from their graves, and they'll be given a resurrection body and they'll be alive forevermore. The promise of Jesus to give that kind of eternal life to people who have already died is hollow unless Jesus himself has risen from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, we read this. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Down to verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, that's through Adam, the resurrection of the dead also comes also through a man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus, friends, is our guarantee that we who are in Christ will one day be raised to eternal life. And because Jesus lives, we can look forward to that day when we will be resurrected from death ourselves. We need to understand that one day, even those who have died will be given a resurrection body. That will happen on the day when Jesus comes back for his people. That day when the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we will be changed. That's what it says there in 1 Corinthians 15. Number 6, the resurrection gives us personal hope. Most of you know my story, but if you've started coming to City North in recent times, or you might even be a visitor here tonight, you may not know, but 3.5 years ago, my wife Debbie passed away with breast cancer. She'd been diagnosed 10 years earlier, so we had quite a journey as a family with Debbie's treatment program. But she was a wonderful wife and a wonderful mother, and she was a dear friend, I know, to many of you who are here tonight. Debbie loved Jesus dearly, and she loved being able to serve Jesus and to share Jesus with other people. But the day came when the Lord took her. It was the 9th of September 2010, just 10 days before her 52nd birthday. And that was a very sad day, obviously, for us as a family. But, you know, her death is not the end. When I think about that day, when I try to make some personal sense of what happened when Debbie died, it's as though I hear the Lord saying to me, Murray, I raised my son from the dead, and one day I'm going to raise Debbie from the dead too. You see, the resurrection has a practical application even in those sorts of situations in day-to-day life. There's hope for Christians in the resurrection of Jesus. The God who raised Jesus is one day going to raise my wife, and we are going to be reunited. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. That one day I will see Debbie again. That we will be together again. That we will be able to share in fellowship together. That we're going to be able to praise God and worship him together. Does the resurrection give you that sort of confidence and hope? Death will be swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? You see, death has no victory. Death has no sting because Jesus has defeated. He's defeated death. He's defeated Satan. There's something very deeply personal about the resurrection of Jesus, and friends, we must grab a hold of that on a day like today. And then finally, and there are probably other things, by the way, I don't think these 7 points are exhaustive, but these are 7 that I think are very important for us nonetheless. The resurrection guarantees that one day we will stand before Jesus as our judge. Acts chapter 10, verses 39 to 42. This is Peter sharing, preaching. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness in his name. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead, friends, the fact that Jesus is alive today means that one day he's going to be the judge before whom every single one of us is going to have to stand. And on that day, he's going to divide people into 2 groups. There's going to be people on his right and people on his left. And some people are going to be consigned to eternal life and others to eternal damnation. Some will go to heaven, some will go to hell. Some are going to be with God, and some are going to be separated from him eternally. You can't sit on the fence. There's no third option. Jesus put it like this: the one who is not for me is against me, Jesus said. If you're not absolutely committed to being for Jesus, well then it's as good as being against him. And I wonder tonight, are you positively, unambiguously for Jesus tonight? Jesus rose from the dead. He was declared with power by God to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. One day he will be the judge before whom we stand. If we are not for him, we're against him. Our eternal destiny depends upon where we stand with Jesus Christ. You know, there are many people who struggle with the whole idea of the resurrection of Jesus. There are some people who really struggle with it because they have a scientific hang-up about miracles. They say, well, look, miracles can't happen. I say, I've studied science. I've read the books. I don't believe in supernatural things happening. I can't explain the resurrection of Jesus, so therefore it must not have happened. So there's some people who have troubles at that level. It's more an intellectual level. But I suspect that more people have problems with the resurrection because, you see, if Jesus did rise from the dead, you have to do something about it. You have to accept the word of Jesus. You have to believe in him. You have to obey him. You have to commit your life to him. And I want to say tonight, friends, that I believe that the case for the resurrection of Jesus is absolutely solid. I believe that the teaching of Jesus and the basis upon which the Christian faith is founded stand squarely on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive today, that he rose from the dead. There is no grave over there in Israel today that contains the bones of Jesus. They will never be found. He did rise from the dead. He is alive, and we can know him with certainty. This is what it says in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 11. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what? You will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Very powerful words. I wonder tonight, is your heart saying yes to Jesus? Are you believing in your heart tonight that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead? Are you confessing with your mouth today the truth that Jesus is Saviour and Lord of your life? Then what you have to do is you have to trust him. You have to trust him with every ounce of your being. You have to give him your life. You have to choose day by day to live your life for him as your Lord. And as you do that, we have the promise of Scripture here that you will never be put to shame. We don't want to get to that day when we have to stand before Jesus and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I really intended to put my hope and my trust in you, but look, I just didn't really get around to it. Or I thought about it a lot, but nothing ever really happened. How tragic to hear Jesus say on that day, I'm sorry, but I didn't know you. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And I hope tonight every single one of us here can say, yes, I am trusting Jesus. I believe that he died for me. I believe he rose again that I might experience this new life that he wants to give me. And I can look forward to that day when I'm going to stand in his presence and I'm going to be able to acknowledge him personally as my Lord. If you're not a Christian, or if you're wanting a little bit more information about this stuff that I've been talking about tonight, would you please just come and have a quiet little chat to me afterwards, or have a chat to Pastor Dave, or somebody that you know of who might be able to help you. This is far too important to let it slide. You need to be right with Jesus tonight. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for the encouragement that it is to us, this doctrine of the resurrection. Lord, how empowering, how fortifying that is to our faith. Well, Father, we just thank you that even in the midst of a world where there is so much sadness and brokenness and death, Lord, that we can have hope in the living, risen Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just have so much to live for. So many reasons, good reasons, to get out of bed every morning and to get on with our lives. Our faith, Lord, is not futile because Jesus did rise from the dead and he is alive today. Father, we just pray that you would help us to know what it really means to live our lives day by day, acknowledging Jesus as Lord, living more confidently and boldly, Lord, because we have the power of the resurrected Jesus at work within our lives by your Spirit. And Father, we just want to pray tonight that as we go from this place, it might be, Lord, with joy in our hearts and a spring in our steps. Because once again tonight, Lord, we have had an encounter with the living Jesus. Oh, Father, encourage us with these words, we pray. Amen.